Everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. But everybody turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Now, kids, I want you to pay attention real good and show them how we've been really good downstairs. And we're going to be the same upstairs. I've got some stuff that you're going to want to see, but if you're goofing around, you're not going to be able to see it, okay? And so Matthew chapter 14, verses 14 through 17. Matthew chapter 14, verses 14 through 17. If you could stand in honor of God's word, please. Matthew chapter 14, verses 14 through 17. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is the desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart, give them to eat." And they said unto them, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this. Thank you for your word. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just control me tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, control my thoughts. I yield myself over to you. Please relay the message to these people that you've given to me. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. The title of my message is, "He Saw, Do You See?" He saw, do you see? And the thing about it is we're gonna talk about what do you see? You know, a farmer and his son went into a large city for the very first time. And he stood in front of an elevator and he seen something he'd never seen before. While him and his son were standing there looking at this elevator trying to figure out what it is, this elderly woman with a walker starts walking up to the elevator, and she walks real slowly, and she was well stricken in years, and the thing about it is she walks up, pushes a button, she walks inside the elevator, and then pushes another button, the doors close, lights all flash all across the elevator, and next thing you know, this gorgeous young woman walks out of the elevator. The farmer looks at his son, he's like, "Son, go get your ma." And so the thing about it is that we see sometimes what we want to see. And the thing about it is that too many times we see what we want to see. A salesman sees somebody who can buy a car. The EMT sees someone who might be injured. A lawyer sees someone who might be in need of suing somebody. A restaurant owner might see somebody who's hungry. An air conditioner salesman might see somebody who gets hot, and so on. How many have ever bought a car? Okay? The thing about it is, you know what's interesting is, while you're looking, or after you bought a car, all of a sudden, you see your car everywhere. And different colors, but the thing about it is, I remember when I bought our Buick LeSabre. And truth of the matter is before that, I didn't even really care that much about Buicks or anything. And all of a sudden, after I bought my car, all of a sudden, I seen Buick LeSabres everywhere. Were they there before? Absolutely. I just now starting to notice it. The thing about it is what do you see? You know, the thing about it is that we can only focus on, we can only focus, kids pay attention, we can only focus on, a lot of times, one thing at a time. This is why the Bible talks about an unstable man is, or a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This is why the Bible says you cannot serve God and man. And the thing about it is that, oftentimes illusionists, they focus on this thing that you can only focus on. They prey on this one thing that you can only focus on one thing at a time. And so oftentimes they'll take a rope like this and they'll start tying knots, or maybe they're doing several things. And what they're doing is you don't realize that in the background they're doing things to distract you. But you can only focus on one thing at a time. And so the thing about it is that they say that oftentimes that everything you see, your brain does not register. And the thing about it is of everything that's in your field of vision, that most of the time you only see what your brain deems as important. And so the truth of the matter is that I'll be honest with you, when we talk about, I want you to keep this thought in mind this whole time that we're talking about, what do you see? So here we have a rope. Okay, kids? We have a rope with a knot tied in it. What do you see? I want you to pay attention very carefully. We have a rope. We cut the rope. Now all of a sudden, we have a rope, two ropes with one not in it, right? Thing about it is what do you see? And a lot of times an illusionist will take and start doing stuff to distract us, right? And we don't realize that the whole time it's all an illusion. And the thing about it is what do you see? Well, you see what's important to you. And then all of a sudden he shows you a rope that's one piece. You say, well, the truth of the matter is what do you see? See, the thing about it is too many times we see things in our lives as they affect us. But do we see the things in our lives that do we see the things that affect other people? See, to see things through God's eyes is to see humanity as it really is. To see it with unconditional love. I'll be honest with you. While one person sees a worthless drug addict, an addicted bum on the street sucking up the welfare system, Jesus sees one promising intellectual young man who fell on hard times and made wrong choices. A person who perhaps, in their own opinion, has lost everything and now has no reason to live. Christ sees them as somebody that can be gloriously saved and their life can be turned around. You see, the truth of the matter is we may drive by a domestic disturbance where the police are all there and a family is having a dispute. Maybe one family member is hitting another family member, and we might see them as, you know what, I can't believe they're in my neighborhood. Jesus Christ sees them as somebody, as a family that needs saved. And if that family would put Christ in the center of them, you know what, the truth of the matter is their family would become so much better. What do we see? We read in the scriptures, and when he saw the multitude, he had compassion on them. See, the thing about it is too many times we see the world and we look at it through our own selfish eyes and we judge the world with how it affects me. The truth of the matter is when Jesus sees the world, he looks at eyes that don't necessarily look on the outside. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, the Bible says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." The thing about it is what I'm going to focus on tonight is Christ doesn't see people a lot of times how we see people. The thing about it is that we should see people the way Christ sees people. Everybody turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 10. The Bible says in verse 30 through 37, the Bible says, and Jesus answered, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, and leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he had saw him, passed on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." You know, the thing about it is a story. There's a story about a Samaritan, and there's three people in this Samaritan, in this story. The truth of the matter is you have an individual that was robbed, he was beaten, and he was left for dead alongside the road. And here we have a priest that walked by and seen the person in the bloody mess. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if he had maybe his best suit on and he didn't want to get it dirty with the blood and the dirt from the man that was wounded and bleeding. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what reason he had, but for whatever the reason was, he saw that person laying and he walked on the other side of the street and pretended not to see him. And then there's a Levite come. This Levite was a respected leader in the Jewish temple. And the thing about it is he was somebody of position. I don't know what his excuse was. Maybe, you know what, I'm too busy. You know what, this is going to take time. This is going to take money. I just don't have it. I don't have a lot of time. I don't have a lot of money. You know what, I'm just going to follow the priest right on by. And see, then there's a Samaritan. Wasn't a religious leader. He wasn't a priest. Truth of the matter is he wasn't even a Jew. And the Bible says, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He saw. What do we see? See, the thing about it is he was willing to put his time, his money, and his effort into saving that person that needed help. The truth of the matter is that just like that man that was robbed, beaten, and left for dead, I'll be honest with you, the world is lost and dying and going to hell. And the Bible says they're dead in their trespasses and sin. And I'll be honest with you, too many times we walk through this world and we turn a blind eye to the people that are crying out for somebody to show them. You know what? I'll be honest with you. Too many times we take and we're not willing to pass out a tract. We're not willing to go soul winning. We're not willing to reach out. We're not willing to spend the time, the effort, the money. We just turn a blind eye and say, you know what, I don't have time, I don't have the resources, you know what, I just can't afford to do it. I'll be honest with you, too many times we find ourselves in that predicament. You know, the thing about it is it seems like the world doesn't have a problem spending money for AA. The world doesn't have problems donating to their favorite charity. The truth of the matter is are we more dedicated to helping the lost than the world is with their fake answers? I'll be honest with you. Listen, the gospel will change a life more than AA will. I'll be honest with you. What the sinner needs is the gospel. What a sinner needs is a Savior to save them. I'll be honest with you. You look at the maniac of Gadara. What happened when he met with Jesus Christ? What happened when he met with Jesus Christ? The Bible says he was clothed and in his right mind. You say the thing about it is what's going to help a sinner? What's going to help someone in need? What's going to help someone with a broken heart? What's going to help someone that's despaired and distressed and dusted, busted, and disgusted? Like Pastor Hester says, one of the pastors that we know, what's going to help them the most? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The thing about it is that's what's going to help those people the most. But too many times we as Christians, we're focused on ourselves rather than a lost and dying world around us. And they're crying in help and need for a Savior. You go down to the local bar tonight, you find people that are in need of a Savior. People that their last look that they know of is to a bottle of alcohol. They need the Lord. You know, the thing about it is that you look all over Bucyrus, and if we're paying attention to what our mind thinks is important and we're walking with God and we have the eyes of Christ, what we're going to find is that everywhere we look, there is somebody that is in need of a Savior. And the truth of the matter is too many times, you know what, I'll be honest with you, I'm guilty of it myself. Too many times we give ourselves excuses. Well, you know what, they might reject the tract. They might not want to talk to me. And we can give them every excuse in the book on why we shouldn't share the gospel with them, why we shouldn't invite our neighbor, why we shouldn't witness, why we shouldn't be an example at work, why we don't want to stand out. But the truth of the matter is that, you know what? We need to be like the Samaritan and help out. I'll be honest with you. Too many times we get our vision from the television and not enough from God's provision, Jesus Christ. See, the thing about it is we see things on TV that just can't live without. I'll be honest with you. The thing about it is that, you know what? The devil would like nothing more. The devil would like nothing more than to distract us from what's important. The devil, the thing about it is, you know what? You know what's interesting about the devil? The devil doesn't necessarily want you to do what he wants you to do. The devil wants you to do what you want to do. Because he knows that if you do what you want to do, it's not what God wants to do. And the thing about it is that if he knows that he can distract us with things that we want to do, I'll be honest with you, then what happens is we stop seeing what's important to God and start seeing what's important to us. And the thing about it is what's important to God is that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what the Bible says? That what's the most important to God is that people get saved. That without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But the truth of the matter is what Satan would like to have us do is he would like to get the blood of Jesus Christ out of our view. He would like to hide it. He would like to get us focused on what maybe work or focused on things. And the truth of the matter is what happens is eventually we no longer see what's important to us. All we see is what affects our lives instead of what affects the life of a sinner. God says, hey, listen, hey, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. We need to be focused on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But Satan says, hey, listen, don't focus on that. Tell you what, you've got better things to do on a church service. You know what? Hey, listen, they're just going to reject you anyway. What I want you to do is forget all about the blood of Jesus Christ. Just forget all about it. Forget all about the fact that they're lost and dying. And you know what? Forget all about the fact that sinners are dying and going to hell. See, the thing about it is if we open up our eyes and look around, we see the quiet coworker having difficult times because he used to walk with God and now he's away from God and paying the price. He feels like he has no one to turn to. His heart is breaking inside of his chest. And we need to help him. The lady that, if we open our eyes, we see the lady that lost her husband of 50 years, driving down the road slowly because the tears are making it hard to see. Tears just running down her face. Her heart is breaking because the best friend in the whole world has just gone on. And instead of having compassion, we honk because she's slowing us down. The teenager that sits in church, arms folded, and saying, you know what, I don't want to move. And the truth of the matter is what we don't realize is those arms are folded to hide the cut marks. They're all over their arms. And the truth of the matter is those individuals, the hurt inside them is just so great, they try and cut themselves to distract from the pain that is inside. Let me tell you, the truth of the matter is the only one that can help them with that pain is Jesus Christ. And we look at Mrs. Lance and say, why in the world did you bring that punk? How does Christ see it? We look at a cashier at the store and get upset with them because they don't bag the groceries the way we want them to, or they weren't fast enough. All while this grocer is trying to keep her mind on the job and not wondering how her child was doing because, you see, several years back, her boyfriend had shaken the baby, and now he's lucky to be alive, and she's struggling just to keep ends meet, struggling to pay the medical bills, struggling to keep caretaker fatigue from affecting her, and just letting the stress overwhelm her. And we give her a dirty look because it affected us in a negative way. See, the truth of the matter is if we open up our eyes and see what God sees, the truth of the matter is that we'll be shocked at how many people around us need to be saved. The Bible says in Jude chapter 1 and verse 22, and some having compassion, making a difference. When we refuse to pass out a tract, we are selfishly focusing on our own lives instead of the life of God. When we refuse to welcome a visitor that comes into church and we're more concerned about whether or not they sit in our pew or somebody else's, we're being selfish. When we don't attend a church function because, you know what, I just don't think I want to, or I don't think I necessarily need to, we're selfishly focusing on our own lives instead of the lives of others. You see, the church is not only where we minister or where we get fed, but also where we minister. Too many times I've seen church members, not necessarily at this church, but they come to the pastor and say, "Pastor, I'm not being fed." And the thing about it is you look and the thing about it is it's not that they're not being fed. It's that they refuse to eat. And they refuse to eat because they refuse to work up an appetite. And I'll be honest with you. The thing about it is that the Christian that's sitting dead in the pews, refusing to do anything, refusing to witness, refusing to be used of God. The thing about it is that, you know what? They're dying spiritually because they're not obeying the Word of God. The thing about it is I'm thinking about an individual who usually comes to every church function they possibly can, and they usually try and bring somebody else. Why? Because they've got a vision. He sees what he sees. The truth of the matter is, you know, I'll be honest with you, one of the most discouraging things for a visitor to do is to walk into some activity or church function or church service and look around and say, "Where's everybody at?" The thing about it is it's not always about us. The truth of the matter is the Bible says that, you know what, we need to not be so focused on our things, but focused on other people's, focused on the lives of other people. And the thing about it is what are we more concerned about when we come to church? Are we more concerned about our comfort? Are we more concerned about what we're used to? Are we more concerned about how things affect us? Or are we saying, you know what? I want the gospel furthered. I'm going to pitch in. I'm going to roll up my sleeves because, you know what? I see Bucyrus as a mission field. I see Bucyrus as a place where sinners are dying and going to hell. And you know what? God has called me to go and share the gospel. Thing about it is that, you know what? Jesus came, I believe, to change the way we view people. The Bible says, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor." You know what? Thing about it is you look at who Christ ministered to. He was willing to go into a crooked taxpayer's house and eat supper with him. It's kind of like going to Brother Paul's house. No, just joking. And the thing about it is Brother Paul, I had to get you back. And the thing about it is that, listen, guys, you know what? We need to take you know what? We need to view people like Christ views people. Look at the widow woman who threw two mites into the offering plate. And he said, listen, hey, the truth of the matter is she has given more. Why? Because she has given her all. It's about time we as Christians say, God, you can have everything. You can have every area of my life. I'm not going to hold back one portion. I'm not going to say, God, I'm too busy for you. I'm not going to say, God, I know more than you. I've got control of my life. What we're going to do is we're going to say, God, I'm totally and fully surrendered to you. What you want in my life is what I'm going to give you. You know what? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I humbly give. You know what? It's time we start living the verse to that song. The thing about it is it's time that we say, Jesus, if you want me to witness, I'm going to be witnessing. And the thing about it is that, you know what? Jesus came also to heal the brokenhearted. Dallas, come up here. The thing about it is that, you know what? A lot of people are hurting in our day. And a lot of people are living with brokenhearted. The good news is that Jesus Christ can heal. You know, the truth of the matter is have a seat there for now. Truth of the matter is, you know what? You look, brokenhearted is only found in the Bible two times. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1 and Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. They both paint the picture of something that's being totally broken in pieces, ruined and destroyed. By the way, you read the Bible and God is a builder of people. Satan is the destroyer. And the truth of the matter is that, you know what? It's time that we take and we decide that, you know what? I am going to have compassion. I am going to view other people. I'm going to view my city. He saw, so I'm going to see. The Bible says in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 5. The Bible says, "And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years, and Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there now a long time in that case. He said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole?" So here's the scene. Here you got the pool of Bethesda, and what happens is the Bible says on a certain season, the angel of the Lord comes and he stirs the waters, and the first person into that pool, the Bible says, was healed. So here's this man, and I'll be honest with you, it's not a stupid question because God never asks stupid questions. If I asked it, it probably would have been a stupid question, a little bit snide maybe. And wilt thou be made whole? My answer would have been, well, yeah. And but the thing about it is here's the thing is, you know what? I want you to look at his response. Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man said unto him, Sir, I have no man. I'll be honest with you. Too many times people are lost and dying and you know what? They're crying out, Sir, I have no man. God uses us to share the gospel. God uses us to pass out the tracts. God uses us to minister to people. God uses us to help lift the brokenhearted. Well, how do we do it? Through the Word of God. God uses people for His purpose. And the thing about it is too many times the world is lost and dying and going to hell, and their cry is, Sir, I have no man. Too many times we've walked by that neighbor. Too many times we've walked by that family member. Too many times we've walked by and said, Listen, I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to get dirty. I don't want them to peg me. And whatever excuse that we give them, too many times they die and go to hell, and their cry is, Sir, I have no man. Shame on us. Lay down, Dallas, right there. See, the thing about it is, I'll be honest with you. One of the ambulance scenes that I hate the most is this right here. Because when I walk in, a lot of times I look around. I look for a Bible. I look for a Bible verse. I look for anything. Something that'll help me realize that person might be on their way to heaven. I've had to lay a sheet over three-year-olds. Paul, you know what it's like. I've had to lay a sheet over 18-year-olds. I've had to lay a sheet over young dads. I've had to lay a sheet over many people. And I'll be honest with you, too many times you look around the room, you look around the scene, and there's nothing that indicates that person is on the way to hell. And the sad truth is that person that's under the sheet, if they never was told about the gospel, if they never accepted Christ, then you know what? It is eternally too late. And the cry of that person in hell is, Sir, I had no man. The thing about it is I wonder if it was my responsibility to tell that person about Jesus Christ. I wonder if that was my neighbor that I should have shared the gospel with. I wonder if that was somebody's family member that was praying constantly for somebody to share the gospel with them. Whose loved one was that? Whose friend was that? Whose neighbor was that? And was I responsible? And was the cry my fault that there was, Sir, I have no man? The Bible says, Philippians 2:4, the Bible says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The one thing that will bring everything into perspective is seeing that sheet. At that point in time, was that car that I worked so long for worth it? Was that inconvenience that I felt worth him going to hell? See, the thing about it is that when it all boils down to it, what's more important, what we see or what God sees? See, the thing about it is we talk about the end times and we talk about how the last days are upon us. You know what? I'll be honest with you. The thing about it is everybody in here is a Buckeye fan, right? Most everybody except for Pastor and I. And the thing about it is if the Buckeyes were playing Michigan and there was 2 minutes to go and they were down a couple of points, would you expect the Buckeyes to just roll over and play dead? Would you expect them to just sit on the bench and give up? Would you expect them? No! You'd expect them to be out there playing and giving it their all. You'd be expecting them to steal every basket, every shot that they could. You'd be expecting them to try and make every basket. You'd be expecting them to hustle and give it all they have. Then why in the world we as Christians expect more of a basketball team than we expect out of ourselves? The truth of the matter is the end times are nearing. Hey, listen, it's time for Christians to give it all we have. Too many times Satan is claiming lives more rapidly than the church can save them. The thing about it is what are we doing? Are we circling the wagons? Are we saying, you know what, the time is almost here. You know what, it's almost too late. Or are we saying, you know what, I'm going to give it all we have. I'm going to pass out as much tracks as I possibly can. I'm going to share the good news, the gospel with my neighbor. I'm going to find everybody that I run across, and I'm going to give them a track, or I'm going to share the gospel with them, or I'm going to invite them to church. What are we doing in the last days? Are we expecting more out of our basketball team than we are out of ourselves? John chapter 11, and I'm almost done. John chapter 11 and verse 32. And when Mary was come, there Jesus was and saw him. She fell on his feet and said unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Jesus therefore saw her weeping. And as the Jews also weeping, which came to her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Do you think it was any surprise to Jesus that Lazarus had died? I'll be honest with you. Personally, I don't feel that Jesus was weeping over the death of Lazarus. Because Jesus is all-knowing, and he knew that in a very few short minutes, Lazarus would be up and walking. You know what I believe that Jesus was weeping over? The broken hearts of his people. You know what? I'll be honest with you. It's time that we start weeping over lost souls. It's time that we start weeping and praying and you know what? Crying with our brethren. It's time that we start lifting up the brokenhearted. It's time that we get our eyes off ourselves and get our eyes focused on who Jesus has them focused on as sinners. Let me ask you, how much have we been involved in church recently? Trying to further the gospel. How many tracts have we passed out this week? I'll be honest with you, I could have passed out a lot more. This message is just for me. How many times have we prayed for others more than we prayed for ourselves? The truth of the matter is that, I'll be honest with you, every one of us can improve. What kind of vision do we have? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. See, the thing about it is selfishness knows no bounds and is never satisfied. The truth of the matter is if we focus on ourselves, we're never going to focus on a lost soul. If we're more concerned, this is why the Bible says godliness plus contentment equal great gain. The truth of the matter is the question tonight is, he saw, do we see? And if we find ourselves, and if we're being honest with ourselves, most of us are, that we have a vision problem, let me tell you, the best place to get it taken care of is right at an old-fashioned altar and tell God, hey, listen, God, I need a burden for lost souls. See, the thing about it is there's a problem when our track rack doesn't need to get filled that often. There's a problem when our soul winning time has two or three people there. The thing about it is that we as a church, myself included, need a bigger burden for lost souls. He saw, do we see? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this message. And Dear Heavenly Father, I'll be honest with you, it's a very convicting message for me. Too many times I've given excuses on why I shouldn't pass out a tract or why I shouldn't witness. And Dear Heavenly Father, I'll be honest with you. I often wonder how many people that I didn't witness to and I should have died and went to hell. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help me to be obedient to the Holy Spirit when He prompts me. Help us to see like you see. In Jesus' name, Pastor.